Oh. Well, hi everybody. Back again. This is part two with David Seeloff. We're very blessed to have him with us. And this is Satan Without Illusion, Assumptions About Satan. And there are many. So we're going to just jump in and get started with part two. Hi, David.
Hi, Georgianne. Yeah, we dealt with Isaiah chapter, we brought it up to Isaiah chapter 14, and now we're going to deal with Ezekiel chapter 28 in Dr. Martin's article, Assumptions About Satan, that he wrote, or that he presented on tape in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And I've updated some of the material. These are Dr. Martin's words. Ezekiel chapter 28. You might say that there are a few more problems in this passage, but in actual fact, there are not any at all when you analyze the passage carefully. Ezekiel himself, on many occasions, used parables as well as Isaiah did. He talked about the kings of Judah being like trees in Ezekiel chapter 17, and also a riddle and a parable in chapter 17 and verse 2. He can talk about the prince and the king of Tyre being exalted and high and mighty if he wishes. He can use very exalted terms, which might make you feel, if you take it in a literal sense, that he is talking about a spiritual being of some kind. We have to be very careful on these things and try not to read into them things that are not there.
Exactly.
And the first section of Ezekiel chapter 28 speaks about an individual called the Prince of Tyre. You all know where Tyre was. It was an island city which later became a peninsula. And in the time of Alexander the Great, in the 330s BC, Alexander the Great had his army construct a mole, which, M-O-L-E, which was a causeway of rocks and earth from the mainland to the island city of Tyre. And it was one of the great construction projects of ancient times, and it took years to accomplish. His troops crossed the mole, broke in, and finally captured the city in 332 BC. And over the centuries, the island then became a peninsula. And I've been there, and, back when you could go there, in 83, I believe, and indeed, it is a peninsula. I'd love to go back now. So, like I said, over the centuries, it became a peninsula just north of Israel. Tyre is in Lebanon right now. It was a very famous port city where they used to have merchandise going out from, that gathered all over from the Middle East and then was sent out to other areas of the Mediterranean by sea. It was a very famous, it was very famous in ancient times, and most of the craftsmen of the ancient world in the Middle East came from Tyre. And before I even go into this subject, I want to mention one thing. When King Solomon wanted to build the beautiful temple in his own palace in Jerusalem, he went to Tyre to get craftsmen to construct those buildings. He sent to King Hiram, the king of Tyre, to get building materials, not only timber from the mountains of Lebanon, particularly the cedars of Lebanon,
yeah,
but also the hewn stones. And to get, he went to this man, this king, who had the artisans available to come down to Jerusalem to build that holy temple. Israelites built it, but that is true, but also Tyrians helped in the architecture and the construction. They were the contractors, you might say. And this is all in 1 Kings chapter 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 2 for the story. And regarding the people of Tyre, look at Dr. Martin's presentation, the most significant Gentile nation in the Bible, and we've done a show on that also. So that might be helpful for us to understand this background when we read Ezekiel 28 and verse 11 on down, because the king of Tyre and many of his people helped build God's physical throne here on earth, his temple. No other nation did so. Not Egypt, not Babylon, not the Aramaeans or the Assyrians, but these people of Tyre did help. In fact, that temple on occasion was called Lebanon, because even the book of Isaiah called the temple itself Lebanon, because the cedar trees came from Lebanon. Many of the artisans that helped build the temple were Tyrians from Tyre. They were Gentiles, although many of them were circumcised. We know that there were Israelites mixing with the Tyrians up there, but it is most remarkable that the Bible says that the temple would not have been built in its glory and sumptuousness if there had not been those artisans, those merchants, those craftsmen that came from the city of Tyre to help build up the sides of the north here on earth. So this first section is about this prince of Tyre. So, and by the way, this Ezekiel is writing about 450 to 500 years, probably closer to 400 years after King Solomon. Now, this prince of Tyre, everyone expects him as being a man, the prince being in contradistinction to the king of Tyre.
Right.
It is the king of Tyre that people do not want to be considered a man. They want him to be Satan the devil.
Yeah.
But this first individual, beginning with verse 2, the prince of Tyre, everyone accepts as being a man. So let's look at Ezekiel 28 and verse 2. Son of man, and the word here is Adam, son of Adam. Say unto the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am God, I am El, I sit in the seat of Elohim, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man, and the Hebrew word here is Adam. The common term, Adam means to an individual Adam, but also represents human beings.
Yeah.
Yet you are a man, an Adam, and not El. Though you set your heart as the heart of Elohim, and that's Ezekiel 28 and verse 2. He's talking about the literal prince of Tyre back there at the time of Ezekiel. It was becoming a fad, a fashion, for leaders at that time, particularly in the Middle East, to call themselves gods while they yet lived. Pharaoh Nephthys of Egypt called himself a god. This man here called himself a god. The Babylonians were also calling themselves god in the flesh. It was later taken up by the Greeks and the Romans. The first Greek to do that was Alexander the Great. The Romans themselves, and they began to call themselves gods, Caesars. Gods in the flesh. This prince of Tyre called himself God, or El, sitting in the midst of the seas, as he was in this island empire. Ezekiel 28, verses 4 and 5. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have gotten you riches, and have gotten gold and silver in your treasures. By your wisdom and by your traffic, have you increased your riches? Traffic refers to trade that was conducted from Tyre all throughout the Mediterranean. That is how they got their riches. Tyre was the jewel of the Mediterranean and the Near East. It was the emporium of the East, the market center for the Babylonians, for the Assyrians, for the Egyptians, and for the Israelites. Tyre was the center of trade in the ancient world. This Tyrian prince was calling himself a god. He will be brought down. That is what Ezekiel was saying. As it says in Ezekiel 28 and verse 10, to die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, says the Lord Yahweh. Now up to this point, everyone accepts that this is a man. But let's go on. In Ezekiel 28, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Moreover, the word came unto me, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." Now, a distinction is made here by some. They say that the first one in verse 2 is a prince. This one here is a king. There must be a difference. Well, there is a difference between the word king and prince when you really look at it. But I want to ask you this question. In the time of Solomon, when he went up to a man named Hiram and got his craftsmen to come down and help him build the temple, the Bible calls that Hiram by what term? Does he call him a prince or does he call him a king? He called him King Hiram. This king here is a man. He has called himself as being like God, and he wants to ascend also up to the heights like God. But it is a man being talked of here. In Ezekiel 28 and verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." What does it say back in verse 28 and verse 4 regarding the prince? "With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have gotten you with riches. Even the prince of Tyre had wisdom. Now he calls him the king of Tyre." In Ezekiel 28 and verse 13, it says, "And you have been in Eden, the garden, the paradise of God." The garden means in paradise, something that would be beautiful and wonderful, a paradise here on earth. Of course, we think of Eden back in the time of Adam and Eve. That's true. Or we think of the heavenly Eden. I suppose you would say that it was also true. But what was this prince of Tyre, who later became king, calling himself? He was calling himself God, or El, in the flesh. For some reason, God takes exception to that. because he'd be proclaiming himself Messiah, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
So Ezekiel is using, which, by the way, remember, Isaiah was written about 130 years before. So this prince of Tyre may have been taking the language of Isaiah and proclaiming himself God.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, God with us. So, because it's plausible that this king prince of Tyre could have read Isaiah. But Ezekiel is using the language you have been in beauty, you have been in Eden, yes, and you have really been living it up. In verses 13 and 14 of Ezekiel 28, it says, "Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your tabrets," that's a musical instrument, a tambourine, "and of your pipes was prepared for you in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers." I'm going to look at a footnote, and remember, this article was written in the 1970s, and further study convinced Dr. Martin to change his understanding of what he wrote, but I left it as he had it in the 70s. This later analysis from September 2000 is found in the article "Lingering Idolatry in the Temple of God." And while Satan was not the subject in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 19, nor was Satan the king of Tyre, other biblical passages informed and convinced Dr. Martin in the 1990s and the year 2000 that Ezekiel 28 verses 11-19 did indeed refer to a spirit being, a cherub, as the text says. Dr. Martin identifies that being of Ezekiel 28, 11 to 19 from Scripture as having the name Moloch. And that individual, that spirit individual being, is distinct from Satan. So I wanted to emphasize that. So it's a little complex here. I don't know how it plays just listening to it without reading it. But but Satan is not the anointed cherub in Ezekiel. Now, it's interesting that he is the anointed cherub, and he identifies himself as the one that covers. Mm-hmm. Or Ezekiel identifies him as the one that covers. Now go back to Exodus chapter 25. Moses was told in the construction of the old tabernacle that when he made the Holy of Holies, he was to make a mercy seat. Yeah. On one side of the mercy seat, he was to construct cherubs. One cherub on one side with wings stretching out over the mercy seat. A cherub on the other side with wings stretching over the mercy seat. And both of the wings from each cherub would come and virtually touch each other. Ezekiel 28, verses 14 to 15. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Now many say that this is a description of Satan the devil. But is it not interesting that the king of Tyre is compared to the anointed cherub that covers the very throne of God?
Yeah.
When you analyze this carefully, could you possibly say that the adversary was one of the cherubs overshadowing the throne of God on all occasions? Satan, the adversary, came and went to heaven, according to Job chapters 1 and 2, for example. But every time you read about the cherubim in the Bible, you will find them always in association with either God's throne in heaven or guarding that throne, like in the Garden of Eden with the sword. But you find them in close association with God. They have wings. What, did God wait until Satan came back before he would do what he wanted? Well, I suppose you could say there were other cherubim. But a number of verses indicate that cherubim have wings. Exodus 25, verse 20, 37, verse 9. There's a host of them. And this is actually where the idea arose that angels have wings. While cherubim are angelic beings, and they do have wings, and they do have wings. Not all angels have wings. In fact, we have no indication that any other spirit beings have angels except
cherubs. Say that again. Any other spirit beings have?
We have no indication that any spirit beings but cherubs have wings.
Oh, okay.
Even the horses that Christ will be riding and the angels with him, it doesn't say they have wings.
Right.
The cherub that is being talked about in Ezekiel chapter 28 is one of the cherubs that covered the very mercy seat of God in heaven. If this passage is talking about Satan the devil, then Satan is a cherub next to the very throne of God, always at his side. And that is most remarkable when you think about it. The king of Tyre is certainly compared to such a cherub. But is Satan the devil a cherub? The description of cherubs by Ezekiel himself is found in the first chapter. He sees these four living creatures, Ezekiel 1, verses 5 to 11. Also out of the midst thereof came the appearance of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Every one of them had four faces. Well, I don't know men that have four faces, but I suppose from each aspect they'd look like. Every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Not quite sure what that means. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward.
It sounds like a chimera, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. Some kind of composite being.
Yeah.
Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. End quote. Ezekiel 1, verses 5 to 11. So they have the face of a man, the face of an eagle, of a lion, and another face of an ox. In chapter 10 of Ezekiel, he tells us clearly that the face of all cherubim is really that of an ox. Ezekiel 10 and verse 14. And everyone had four faces. The first was the face of a cherub, and the second was the face of a man, and the third was the face of a lion, and the fourth was the face of an eagle. The only animal that is left out of verse 14 of Ezekiel 10, of the animals mentioned in chapter 1 of Ezekiel dealing with the cherubim, is the ox. Obviously, it means that most cherubs have the face of oxen themselves. We know that these beings are cherubs being described here in Ezekiel chapters 1 and chapter 10, because in Ezekiel 10:22 it says, "And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward." End quote. So the beings that were seen in Ezekiel chapter 1 were identified with the same ones described in chapter 10. This is complicated, but it comes down to this. What is being described are cherubim. The central face of a cherubim is that of an ox. And every time we read of Satan the devil, however, he is described as a serpent or a dragon.
Yeah.
And Satan is described consistently as having reptilian features.
Yes, yes.
Satan is never described as having any features of a cherub. And I think that's also very interesting and definitive to me. Have you ever heard of Satan the devil constantly covering the throne of God as one of the cherubs? That it's interesting that people don't analyze this. Preachers on the radio, I've heard them say this stuff.
Yeah.
In Isaiah chapter 37, I want to show you more about these cherubs that cover the throne of God. Now, this is, let's see if they could possibly represent Satan the devil. Now, again, this is Isaiah 37, not Ezekiel. Isaiah 37, verses 15 and 16. And Hezekiah prayed unto Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh of hosts, God of Israel, that dwell between the cherubims, you are the God, or in other words, the Elohim, even you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Now, this is in the 8th century B.C., some 130 years before Ezekiel wrote. We find Hezekiah seeing God as dwelling between the cherubim. If Satan is one of the cherubs that covered in Exodus 25:20, Exodus 37 and verse 9, 1 Kings 8:7, 1 Chronicles 28 verse 18, 2 Chronicles 5:8, and Ezekiel 28 verse 14 and verse 16, then there at the throne of God in the time of Isaiah, when Hezekiah was praying, there was Satan the devil covering and overshadowing God himself. Do you get the point?
Yeah.
Now, this does not make sense.
No, it doesn't.
When you look at it that way.
Yeah.
So look at Psalm 80 and verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you that lead Joseph like a flock. you that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. There are cherubs that cover. They are still covering God's throne. Those two cherubs were covering God's throne back in the time that Moses made the tabernacle in the wilderness. We find Hezekiah saying that God dwells between the cherubim, the ones that cover, in his time. Whenever the psalmist wrote this, in Psalm 80, and we're not absolutely certain, but here is the psalmist talking about the glory of God, and where is he? God is dwelling between the cherubim. If one of those cherubs is Satan the devil, believe me, he's right there as close as he possibly can get. Look at another psalm, Psalm 99 in verse 1. Yahweh reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. And here, that's a glorious description of God sitting in on his mercy seat. The actual cherubs that cover are still right there, covering the mercy seat of God. Clearly, they are there. If one of them is Satan the devil, I thought he fell from heaven years ago. It is a little difficult when understood in this way. What do we have over in Revelation chapter 4? We find these four living creatures again that Ezekiel mentioned in chapter 1 and in chapter 10. Here they are. And you know they are certainly descriptions of cherubim and the cherubs that cover over God's throne. They are still there in the time of John. And they were there when the book of Revelation was written. Revelation 4, verses 6 to 7. And before the throne of God, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. That is the exact description of what Ezekiel saw around God's throne in the first chapter of Ezekiel in the 6th century before Christ. Here in the book of Revelation, we see John being taken forward into the day of the eternal. He sees God resting on his throne in heaven, and what does he see? He sees the cherubimic figures very much there without any difficulty whatsoever. If Satan was one of them, something difficult is coming into the whole thing. Now you could say, well, you know, there were more than one cherubim and they get a break every once in a while. But it never says that Satan is a cherub. It just says that the individual mentioned in Ezekiel is a cherub. So let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 28 and take a look at some of the description here. Surely this king of Tyre is being compared to a God being, a being in the heavenlies. That's absolutely true. But when Dr. Martin wrote this in the 70s, he felt that it was a parabolic type of language being talked of here. Ezekiel 28, verses 14 to 15. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Speaking of this king of Tyre, he was like one of the cherubs. And Ezekiel 14:28 says, you are the anointed cherub, which is what Dr. Martin came to accept. This is my footnote that I'm reading. This is a spirit being and not a man in this section of Ezekiel. Dr. Martin corrected himself in the article that we mentioned above, Lingering Idolatry in the Temple. We should all be able to change our views willingly when proven wrong. We all should have corrected Dr. Martin in this matter in the past, those of us who had been reading his material that long. I encourage people to correct me with biblical evidence not opinions or assumptions.
Yeah.
If you think that I'm wrong, doesn't mean I'll have the wisdom to change, but I pray that I will. But I have the right, in turn, to disagree with your evidence if your evidence is not biblical or not convincing. So, speaking of, he was perfect in his ways till iniquity was found in him, back to the Dr. Martin's text. But do you know something? That could not be Satan, the devil. Clearly, not if we take it from divine revelation. Remember, it said that the cherub was perfect in his ways. Well, remember 1 John chapter 3. I mentioned this at first, at the beginning. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning.
Yeah.
1 John 3:8. Satan, the devil, the adversary, was created by God to do the very things that he does. He was created to be an adversary from the beginning. He was not perfectly sinless like Adam was at first, who then sinned, or like somebody else, and then fell. Not at all. Satan, the devil, was created as a sinner from the very beginning. And that is what it says here, for a particular purpose. But this being, in Ezekiel chapter 28, which is really the king of Tyre, is compared to a cherub. Again, verses 15-16. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you, and by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. What did the king of Tyre do? Were they in traffic? Did they merchandise, using merchandise as a verb? Were they the emporium of the East? Well, the answer is yes. Verses 17 and 18 of Ezekiel 28. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. Not righteousness, but by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic.
Would you say also, David, would it... did Tyre traffic in men's souls?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody did. Even the Israelites did. You know, everybody. But, yeah, that was a major thing with the Phoenicians and the Tyrians. The Phoenicians, the Carthaginians.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, because they were the major traffickers in everything,
yeah,
they had actually monopolies. Even Solomon contracted with them to go out and do trade around the world.
Oh, my.
Not necessarily slaves. It doesn't say that. They went for gold and tin and silver and things like that. Ezekiel 27:28, verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold you. Now, if this is Satan the devil, how in the world could he become ashes under people's feet if he is a spirit being,
yeah,
and not subject to the elements that you and I are?
That's right.
Well, you know,
yeah,
he gets put into the lake of fire. The whole description here is very parabolic and symbolic description.
Mm-hmm.
I grant that, Dr. Martin says. Ezekiel takes him in his pomp and in his arrogance up to the very throne of God, or so he thought.
Yeah.
And this is one of my feelings on the matter, Dr. Martin said. Why is all this description of the king of Tyre being amongst temple symbolism and all of that? Who was it that helped Solomon build the temple of God in the first place with all his craftsmen? It was Hiram, king of Tyre. And from the very beginning, the Tyrians had something to do with the physical temple of God here in Jerusalem. If we want to say that they represent Satan the devil, we are stretching the meaning beyond the limits of revelation in Scripture. That's my judgment on the matter. so many people have built up a complete cosmogony on the origin of the history of man and spirit beings and all of that. And they build up a teaching about Satan the devil based upon these two chapters of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. And what they have done is to take parabolic language to begin with, appropriated it to Satan the devil, when the Bible says it is talking about the king of Babylon on one hand and the king of Tyre on the other. If people would just understand a little bit more of how this Bible was written by the prophets, and that their symbolic language was used time and again for descriptions of human beings on this earth, let us keep them as human beings, although Dr. Martin changed his mind later. If we do so, we will be in far less trouble than bringing all of these assumptions that we have brought into other areas of our mind. Believe me, we have assumed, when the Bible is talking about the king of Babylon, let us leave it as the king of Babylon. When he's talking about the prince or the king of Tyre, let us leave it as the prince and the king of Tyre. When he says that Satan the devil was created as a sinner from the beginning, let's accept Satan the devil, the adversary, was a sinner from the beginning. Let us not mix things up. It is far better that we believe in biblical revelation than our own assumptions. So ends Dr. Martin's article, Assumptions About Satan. Now, I've got an addendum that I wrote here to help perhaps even clarify things. This presentation by Dr. Martin presents three major points. First, Satan is not the person called the king of Babylon as discussed in Isaiah chapter 14. Satan is not Lucifer as imagined by many Christians in the world today. However, analysis of the king of Babylon as described in Isaiah reveals a man known by various names in the Bible, a person who will come on the scene in a time yet future to us. And this is the Antichrist, the man of sin, with all his arrogance, pride, human and supernatural power, and a false claim of divinity, which he shall apply to himself. He will be supported and even possessed for a time, as Judas was, by Satan the devil, even though Satan is not the king of Babylon of Isaiah chapter 14. Further discussion of this goes beyond the scope of this article. So read Isaiah chapter 14 with this understanding in mind. Second, first is that Satan is not the being mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14. Second, the prince of Tyre in Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 1 to 10 is not Satan either. He is clearly a man, just as the biblical text says. He is an historical figure, although he is not otherwise identified in Scripture or in history. Yeah. Third, the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 19, is also not Satan. The passages of Ezekiel 28, 1 to 10, and 11 to 19 begin with the Hebrew words translated, "The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying." These words distinguish between separate messages with separate subjects, neither of which is Satan the devil. Ezekiel 28, 1 to 10, the first section, refers to a man. Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 19, Dr. Martin came to understand, refers to a cherub. So let's see if I can read a chart. In the passage of Isaiah chapter 14, in Dr. Martin's view of the 1970s, it was talking about a man and not Satan. Mm-hmm. In the year 2000, it was still, by Dr. Martin, considered a man and not Satan. His view is unchanged. In Ezekiel 28, verses 1 to 10, his understanding was this passage refers to a man and not Satan. He continued to hold that view in the year 2000. It was unchanged. But for Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 19, in 1970s, Dr. Martin considered this to be the same man as in verses 1 to 10. But he later came to understand in the year 2000, or a little before, that this passage of verses 11 to 19 was referring to a spirit being, a cherub named Moloch. So his view did change for the verses 11 to 19 of Ezekiel 28. So initially, Dr. Martin believed the subject of Ezekiel 28:11 to 19, also was a human being. He came to understand through later research that this being was in fact the cherub named Moloch.
Yeah.
The article, Lingering Idolatry in the Temple of God, will clarify this understanding on this matter. And so ends my little addendum to the article by Dr. Martin, Assumptions About Satan. So Satan isn't anywhere there.
Oh my goodness. Very, very interesting, David. And thank you. That is, you know, it's true. We do make a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help us when we do make assumptions. It doesn't clarify anything.
Yeah, we'll be resurrected, and our second words, or third words, or thoughts in our head will be, oh, well, I was wrong about that.
Yes.
I was wrong about this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we're wrong about a lot of things, and, you know, everybody has different takes on things, and in a way that's good because it makes us look at each other and, you
yeah.
know, dig deeper. And, you know, I like that, digging deeper. So God bless you for all this. And everybody, you can check the website, Ask Elm, it's askelm.com. ELM stands for Ernest L. Martin. And you can contact David Seeloff. Very easy email address here, david@askelm.com. And also, go to the Byte Show. Go to the audio library. Click on David Seeloff's name and his special page that is huge. Opens up with, I don't know how many audio files, but they are many, many, many over the years that we've done. And they have blessed many people out there. And I would suggest that when you listen to these audio files, have a pen and a paper or a tablet and take notes and study. You know, to study is very important. Very important. So God bless you all for listening, and you too, David, and your family. And we'll be back, God willing. So good night, everybody. Say good night, David.
Good night, Georgia.
Okay.